Hey, good morning, everybody. Great to be with you this morning. This morning, we're going to be talking a lot about the Apostle Paul and how his life got flipped, turned upside down on the road to Damascus, and how Jesus used darkness and light to draw him in to a better understanding of who Jesus is. And I couldn't help myself as I was preparing for this sermon. When I thought about the words, you know, Paul's life being flipped, turned upside down, I thought of that show of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anybody ever hear that? Watch that show. It's a great show with Will Smith. And I love the opening song, you know. Maybe you remember it. It went something like this. Now, this is a story about all how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, shooting some b-ball outside of the school, when a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one small fight and my mom got scared. She said, "You're moving with your auntie and your uncle in Bel Air." So that's about as far as it goes there. I won't go into any more verses. But I got so excited about, like, yeah, Will Smith, you know, he went from the darkness of Philly into the light of Bel Air. And, you know, Paul kind of went from darkness into light. So I thought I'd switch up The Fresh Prince of Bel Air and call it The Fresh Prince of Damascus. So wait for a little later, and in the sermon, you might hear a little change up in that song. So I'm going to do a little better. I'm going to try. So if you could lay down some beats for me, you know, in the sermon. That's awesome. So, well, we're delighted you're with us today. Thanks for tuning in online. We're going to begin our service by our opening hymn. Just please stand and we'll sing.
Lord, throughout these 40 days, inspire repentance for our sins. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world be held accountable to death. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of our sin. We know that the law is spiritual. I do not understand what I do. So I find this law at work. I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sinful offering. What then shall we say in response to these things? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? You may be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 58. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed at him together. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite the children to come up for a time with Pastor to talk about Jesus. Come on up, kids. Hi, good morning. You do? Wow, no wonder you're happy. Kitty shoes are fun. Well, we got a few more coming. This is good. Don't be shy. It's okay. You can come up. Everybody's friendly. Good morning. So today, I wanted to talk to you guys about something called a worldview. That's kind of a big word that means, how do you look at the world? And so, you don't know? Well, I'm glad you're here. Maybe you can find out. But you know, it's all about kitty shoes. So, what are some things, like if I'm having trouble seeing, what might be a thing that could help me see? Candy could help me see. I'm right with you, buddy. Yeah, what could help me see? Glasses. Yeah. Yeah. Contacts. What's that? Nerds? Carrots. Oh, yes. I thought you were going on the candy thing. Yeah, my mom and dad always said, eat your carrots because you'll see. You had pizza? I don't know how that'll be for your sight. But yeah, I have these glasses that I bought. They're really good glasses. I bought them at this fine store called Walmart. and I got about five of them, and it only cost me like $10. So I put these on, and guess what? If I read this, guess what that does for me? It helps me see. Yeah, because sometimes I read it, and if I'll give you a clue. If you ever see me without my glasses and I'm doing this, that means I can't see it too well. So I sometimes need these to bring it closer. So I can see more clearly with my glasses. And I see some of you have glasses. You have glasses that helps you see. So now, not yet, because you're eating candy and that helps. Carrots. So now, spiritually speaking, when we think about Jesus, Jesus gives us the ability to have like Jesus glasses. So we can see the world differently. Yeah, so we can see the world differently. Now, there was a man named Paul who didn't see Jesus the way he should have been seen. He thought Jesus was an enemy. And Jesus came and kind of put on spiritual glasses for him. And we're going to hear about that in our next reading. He kind of knocked him down and made a big light and made him not be able to see. And then he opened his eyes to see that Jesus loved people and that Paul would be good to help Jesus have people know him better. So if we put on our spiritual Jesus glasses, if we see somebody who is hurt on the side of the road, if we have our spiritual Jesus glasses on, how might we look at that person? What might we do? We might help them. But if we don't have our Jesus glasses on, we see somebody on the side of the road, what might we do? We might walk away. We might say peace, yeah, and be on our way. That's very profound. How about if someone is mad at someone else. Yeah, that's a great one, Sadie. If someone's mad at you and you don't have your Jesus glasses on, how might you look at them? What do you think about them? If they're being mean to you, what would you think about them? Yeah, she does. Would you think that they're kind to you? No, you'd probably like think they're really mean. But if someone was mean to you and you put on your Jesus glasses, what might you think about that person? Right, very good. You might treat them how you want to be treated and love them because maybe they're hurting and that's why they're being mean. And if you love people, you could just put on your Jesus glasses. So maybe for us, there are not really any Jesus glasses out at Walmart. But when we're going through our daily life and we run into people, you got your mommy has glasses to see? Okay. And so we could put on our Jesus glasses so that we can love people and see them how Jesus sees them. Let's pray, friends. Repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us see the world through your eyes so that we can love and serve and spread the gospel to more and more people all over the world in your saving name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody. God bless your day. Remember to wear your Jesus glasses. Bye-bye. Thank you.
third reading today from the book of Acts with my Jesus glasses on. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So he led them by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hand on him so that he might again have be sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry out my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciple at Damascus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Pastor. Well, I know you've been waiting and waiting for this, you know, version of the Fresh Prince of Damascus, so we'll see how we go here. So this is Paul talking. So he starts out, "Now this is a story about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there, and don't ask us. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Damascus. In West Cilicia, born and raised, thank you, in the temple playground was where I spent most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool, all shooting the breeze with Gamaliel inside the school. When that one guy, Jesus, was up to no good, started making trouble in my neighborhood. I watched Stephen get stoned and started making a fracas. That's when Jesus knocked me down on a few pegs and on the way to Damascus." There you go. So a little, yeah, there you go. A little something to laugh about. Laugh at your pastor. It's okay. I got more work to do. I was thinking of other verses, but I'll stop right there. Back to the drawing board. Yeah, Paul got his life flipped, turned upside down, just like Will Smith in The Fresh Prince. Paul was walking in spiritual darkness, and he was persecuting the church, as we heard Pastor just read to us. And Jesus came to him in a flash of light that was too incomprehensible for Paul to really understand what was happening. And this light blinded Paul and put scales on his eyes, and he had to be led by friends down the road into Damascus, where Jesus appointed Ananias to show him the way even more, so that he could have his eyes opened to the light of faith and really understand who Jesus is. So Paul spent 3 days in utter darkness, in physical darkness, and even a deeper spiritual darkness, but that didn't mean that Jesus or the Heavenly Father wasn't with him. So I want to kind of take a look at the spiritual darkness and the presence of God in spiritual darkness. You know, I was thinking about darkness. It's a kind of a fearful thing. Have you ever experienced utter darkness, you know, where you can't see your hand in front of your face and you lose orientation of where you're at? It's quite frightening. And my wife and I went out to San Francisco, and we went to see the Alcatraz prison, and we got to go to the cell blocks where they put the prisoners in solitary confinement. And thankfully, they didn't close the doors, but like, they let you walk in, and just even that is very, very dark. And, you know, you kind of start feeling like, it feels like the walls closing in on you, and you're like, I got to get out of this place. Well, there was one pastor who voiced against atheists in Romania in 1945. His name was Richard Wurmbrand. He was a Lutheran pastor, and he's the story about Tortured for Christ. It's a book and a recent movie that was just specially released, a one-day thing. Well, he stood up in front of a council that was communist atheist and spoke out against it and spoke the gospel boldly. But he paid dearly for this, and he was seized in 1945 and thrown into prison. He spent 3 years in solitary confinement. 3 years! And 14 years altogether in jail because of his speaking out against the atheistic government. But he held on tight, and he was tortured. It was awful. The book Tortured for Christ is a great read. His own wife was thrown into jail for 3 years. He was later released in 1964, I believe. But the movie, I just have only seen the trailer. I wasn't able to see the movie, but it really grips you in terms of the solitary confinement. The movie shows that he was standing, and there were like spears up against the wall that he couldn't even move. So it was horrible torture. So darkness can be very fearful. But now darkness can sometimes signify things that we don't understand in Scripture. It could even describe the presence of God being too great for us to comprehend. Here's what I mean by that. If you remember back in Exodus chapter 20, when Moses was at the Mount Sinai with all of the people of Israel, if we pick it up on verse 18, it says, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and they trembled and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." See, they're fearful of all this, you know, smoke and clouds and thick darkness. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off, and Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. So you see, thick darkness in this account shows the presence of God. Yes, it is fearful to the people, but God is there. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple in 1 Kings 8, he writes, "And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." And Solomon said, "The Lord had said that he would dwell in thick darkness." Again, evidence that God does dwell in darkness. And even in our poetic literature in the Psalms, Psalm 18 says, "His darkness, he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water." Psalm 97, "Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne." So you see, when Paul enters into that physical darkness, it does not mean that God abandoned him because of his previous horrible deeds, you know, of witnessing the stoning of Stephen and seeking letters from the authorities to jail and kill other Christians and followers of the way. But when he came into that darkness, he experienced God in a very profound way. But it was a God who was too big to comprehend for him. But nonetheless, he found out through this experience that God is a God of grace. Now, Luther talks about this darkness of our faith, you know, our faith being masked in darkness, in his commentary on Galatians. Luther writes, accordingly, when your conscience is terrified by the law and you are wrestling with God, the judge, do not consult your own reason or the law, but take your stand alone on the grace of God and his word of consolation. Take your stand on God's gospel, his good news for you. And Luther writes, cling to this and act as if you've never heard a word of the law, and enter into that darkness of Exodus 20, where neither the law nor human reason gives its light, but only the dark word of faith. That's an interesting way to talk about the word of faith, the dark word of faith. He goes on to say the believer relies with a certainty on being saved in Christ without the law and regardless of it. Thus the gospel, without and regardless of the light of the law and reason, leads us into the darkness of faith where the law and reason exercise no authority. So we're completely reliant upon God's presence in this dark point of our faith. So that tests our limits, you know, this consuming darkness. It tested Paul's limits. He couldn't understand it. That's why he said, you know, when Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Paul cries out, well, who are you, Lord? He can't comprehend what is happening to him. So it tests his limits. It tests our limits. And often this image of darkness, even in Scripture, connotes like sin and death and evil or immoral behavior, which is truly the opposite of God and who he is. But if darkness is evil or impurity or death, then as John wrote in 1 John 1, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So he is the one who is that marvelous light. But if the light is the law that shows us not only what we should do, but brings our sins to light, then darkness becomes an image of grace. Where Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't always see the bright light ahead in our walk of faith in this life. Sometimes we do stumble around in darkness. Sometimes our faith goes through a period of darkness and we're consumed by it. And we are become convinced that God is not present in that darkness. But see, friends, what I'm trying to relate to you is that God in darkness is present with you. And he is the one who's leading you out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And that helps us to see with a new lens. You see, that's where Jesus helps us. If we look at Jesus, remember when he was baptized, how the clouds separated and created like an access to the Father. It opened up the heavens. Mark says it tore the heavens open when he was baptized. Even when Jesus was transfigured on the mount with Moses and Elijah and the three disciples, the presence of God came in that thick darkness, and it overwhelmed Peter. Remember, he said, it's good for us to be here, Lord. Let me make a tent, one for you, Moses, Elijah. He didn't want it to end. He was overcome. Think about Jesus on the cross, how as he hung on the cross to save you from your sins, darkness came over the face of the land. And even at the foot of the cross, the light of the law has no place. In that darkness, you can still find the promise of God's grace, received by faith, not by sight. So when you don't have the answers to life's problems, or when you're dragged into what this world brings, or even into your own sinfulness, We rely by faith, not by sight, to pull us out. So look at your own life, friends. You're a child of the light. Yet there are deeds of darkness that still cling to you. That's why when Pastor read the sentences, he talked that we confess that we do things that we don't want to do, and we don't do the things that we do want to do. That's that darkness that still clings to us as you walk this Christian journey. The law can light your path, but when the law points out your sin, don't try harder to stay on the path. Don't pretend like you can find your own way. Rely on Jesus leading you, like Paul's friends led him into Damascus, and God sent Ananias to lead him even more into that light and purpose that Jesus had for Paul. With Moses and Solomon and Paul, it's okay to enter into the holy darkness of God's presence and hold on to the dark word of faith, where reason and law have nothing to say about your righteousness before God. There, in the dark, Jesus takes your hands and invites you to trust him. Not to something you can see, but a promise given by grace and received by faith. You may know of someone who's kind of in a dark spot right now in their life, and they just need someone to walk with and grab them and say, come this way. It's okay. I'm with you. God's with you. Come out. There's light out here. In Jesus, there is light. And he will forgive all the darkness that was self-imposed by your own actions. And he will take away the darkness that this world clouds and consumes you in. He's with you even in the darkness. You can be a light to others. And have faith, friends. Cling to Jesus. If you're struggling, cling to his promise of grace that he will lead you out of the darkness that maybe you're floundering in, that you're fearful in, and so that he can love you and care for you as he did on the cross. May you be blessed as you help others walk through this faith where sometimes our life gets flipped, turned upside down. We just need that hand of Jesus to pull us through. In his name, amen.
Draw me near. the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near to your precious being side. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and I will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me your precious bleeding side. Draw me near.
Draw me with your mercy. You draw me with your love.
To the cross
you
where thou hast died.
By your blood.
Draw me near.
You draw me with compassion. You draw me as a bride.
To your precious bleeding side. Draw me near.
Let's stand and speak of this Lord that draws us ever nearer. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. I'll end each petition today with the words, O Christ, who came to save the world, and you may respond, let us see the world through your eyes. O Lord, thank you for giving us the example of St. Paul, whose worldview was transformed in a way that brought the message of the gospel to light in such dramatic fashion. Awaken in us a sense of awe and wonder at how Christ did for us on the cross. It just changes everything about how we see the world and how we live in our lives for him. O Christ, who came to save the world, let us see the world through your eyes. Sometimes, O Savior, our worldview can get blurry and out of focus. For that, we are truly sorry. Through the study of your word, time in worship, a deeper prayer life, help us to get refocused on you and clear in our commitment to your will and your way. O Christ, who came to save the world, work in the hearts of those who have turned away from you and those who seek to do your followers harm. Bring messengers of your gospel to them and warm their cold hearts that they may turn their lives around and turn towards you. Make us bold in our service to those who are breathing threats against you. May we be beacons of hope and sources of saving news to all your wandering sheep. O Christ, who came to save the world, after his conversion, St. Paul spent his life teaching and preaching the good news of Jesus to nations far and wide. Dear Lord, let us support pastors and teachers in our faith communities to continue the work that St. Paul began so long ago. Give us generous hearts to support the work of missionaries who serve in far-off lands. Grant them receptive hearts and minds to the messages of salvation found through your death and resurrection. O Christ, who came to save the world. St. Paul went through many trials in his time serving the Lord, and we too struggle as we serve you. Be with those who are sick and injured, hospitalized or homebound, especially Alice and Dan and Joe, Katie and Laverne, Linda, Vernette, Norma and Gwen, Vern, Riley, Ralph, Wally, Blanche and Bob, and Liz. And give them an extra measure of your grace. Fill them with the confidence that no matter what happens, you are with them, that you will be their rock of refuge. O Christ, who came to save the world, God of all creation, we offer you grateful praise for the gift of life. Hear our prayers for your servants who this week remember the day of their birth and rejoice in the gift of life and family. We pray for Matthew, Lois, Karen, Jennifer, Tammy, Catherine, Jess, Henry, and Margaret. O Christ, who came to save the world, dear Jesus, supply renewed resolve to all who are persecuted throughout the world for your sake. Keep your cross always before them. Let them never succumb to fear or doubt, but only have faith that the road ahead lies ultimately to paradise with you. O Christ, who came to save the world. Father, bless our Northern Illinois District President Emeritus Dan Gilbert as he transitions from active service to the people of Northern Illinois to one of prayerful support and counsel, and give thanks to God for his many years of service. And we pray for our President-elect, Alan Buss, as he moves from parish ministry to be the shepherd of the Northern Illinois District, that his transition is peaceful and fruitful, that the Lord would bless him mightily as he leads us to proclaim Christ to a fallen world, and for the disciples of Jesus in our district as we continue the work which Christ called us and sent us to do, that we'd be blessed with the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace and bringing the gospel of Jesus to a fallen world. O Christ, who came to save the world, bless all those who mourn the loss of a loved one, especially for Millie Kruger and Beth Conklin and her family, the loss of Millie's brother-in-law, William Gates. Give them hope and confidence in your promise that all who die in the Lord are raised to life anew with you in heaven by your cross and empty tomb. Surround them too with family and friends to care for them in this time of sorrow. O Christ, who came to save the world. All these petitions we offer in the name of Jesus, who did the will of God, and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our worship will continue with your offerings.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. like a flight upon an eagle's wings, he will give the weary strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And like a flight upon an eagle's wings, he will give the weary strength. So lift your eyes up to the sky, to the one who hears you when you cry.
I invite you to rise. Stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat of this, all of you. This is my body, which is given for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood that is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and this morning we'll come around the table of our Lord to receive his body and blood.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. Guides my ways in righteousness.
I invite you to rise. Be with us through the season, Lord. that when the final Easter dawns, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life
has set you free from the law of sin and death.
And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Now may the Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace.
By the hand, can you use me as I am? Break me into who you want me to be. When the time is finally right, will you open up my eyes? Show me everything you want me to see. This life is not my own. To God glory, to God alone be the praise. Everything I say and do, let it be all for you. The glory is yours alone, yours alone. Offering I bring, you want more than what I sing. Can I give you every part of me? Turn these pennies into gold, take this life I call my own, until I'm running after your heart. I need you to let go.
Blessed week, my friends. My friends, it's a pleasure to praise God here with you in this house. I want you to know that Thursday, I'm having surgery on my shoulder, and I might just be dancing up here with a sling without playing guitar. That being said, if anybody here plays guitar, you're always welcome to join us and make this ministry grow. Come up and talk to us and say hi. Have a beautiful and blessed week. Amen.